This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
WrestleMania is in the books. And we're going to talk about night one because Namar didn't watch night two. I'm going to go to our intro. I'm going to say hit my music, but this is a very special updated version. We'll shorten it up, but check this out. Wrestling with history worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
The best version of Monday Night Raw since the Attitude Era.
It's ridiculous. It's garbage. These people are drones. It's like wrestling just occupies a part of their soul.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Do you believe the things that you say?
Are you one of Dave Meltzer's minions?
Like, what world are you living in that you could have said that to be recorded and presented before the world?
Why couldn't they pay the Rock?
Where are you going with it? Like, you're a madman.
That brings all kinds of new people to your product.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
But you really have to look at what wrestling was in the time right before Hogan won the belt.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. Just sit back and watch the product. That's what it's all about, right? It's supposed to be entertained.
Yeah, but they ruined it. That's the problem. They didn't entertain us the right way.
Wrestling with history.
It may well be in The Rock's best interest to actually return as a performer.
Wrestling with history.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Wrestling with History, worldwide, exclusively in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Follow us on Twitter, X at WWHVOC. Follow the network at VOC Nation. All of our shows stream on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network podcast feed. Follow that, subscribe, like, give us a 5-star review. It helps the show to grow. We continue to grow. We continue to be on the top 10, top 5, and sometimes top 1 in China and Canada, but we'd like to do that in America too. So help us out, folks, please. Namar, I never said hit my music, but I did play the new version of the theme music, and we got to whittle it down, but what do you think?
I think it's funny.
I thought you were going to say, we love wrestling. We love wrestling.
You know what it was, folks? Bruce and I always, not always, but periodically, we get sucked into these huge conversations right before the show. And like we're all like, okay, let's go do the show because we know the previous week we wasted all this time, and we know the week before we wasted all this time, and the week before it just goes on and on and on. And so I really am so consumed because we talked about so much that it's actually hard for me to flip the script. So yeah, I was not prepared to say that. I'm sorry.
We love wrestling. That's going to be your new gimmick. I found
drones.
That totally by accident. I was going through the shows to try to find some new clips so we didn't have to keep using an intro that's 12 years old. Most of the people on there that we interviewed are dead.
That's not funny that they're dead, but the irony in the situation is funny. It's like it's so old that the people aren't even alive, like legitimately.
Brother, I'm so happy to have me on your radio show.
back when he was controversial. You know, that's a shame. You know, so Bruce knows that I collect wrestling figures, and I as much as I love the LJN, I've always had a problem with them. That's why I was never, I didn't actually start getting into them and even the Hasbros, until much later, cause they were intolerable. So I really do like the new stuff because of the articulation and everything. And it's so funny cause I put mine, I usually open them up, put them in a baggie and put them in a box because I have this idea I'm going to display them later. But either which way, I realized that I don't have a proper Jimmy Snuka. And that's a big glaring piece. Like that's a major piece to be missing. Cause you know the era that I like. They released this horrible one that was from much later, but there is no Jimmy Snuka. And I'm thinking to myself that, you know, while I really want to capture that 83 to 91 era, and what is the likelihood we'll see a Jimmy Snuka figure?
I don't think so, because it goes along with the Vince McMahon figure, the Brock Lesnar figure, and the Chris Benoit figure. I think Jimmy's like mixed up in that group and he can't find his way out because he's dead now.
Yeah, it's like Bruce, and the sad thing with him is that I think he wrote a book. He wrote the book and that's where the controversy came from, where they reopened the case and it just started that nightmare before he died. But you realize, yeah, he's in that realm with them where they'll never, like, we already know Chris Benoit, he'll never get a wrestling action figure ever again.
Right.
Vince, where are we at? Like Vince with the crapping on the girl's head.
I mean, that's not funny. I'm sorry. But the idea is, I mean, it's just preposterous. That's why I laughed. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You really have, they're never going to make probably another, we'll get Shane McMahon's and wait a minute, will we? Will the entire,
that's no, Stephanie was there. Remember Stephanie and Stephanie came out to kick off WrestleMania Night 2.
Okay.
A little spoiler for you there, buddy.
Yeah, because I sure enough didn't see it.
So here's the
thing. You got to tell the story, Bruce. Tell the story about how you approached me about
Night 2. I'll tell the story. So we went to WrestleMania Night 1, thanks to Odyssey in Philadelphia, Sports Radio 94 WIP, for getting us a nice suite ticket to our tickets to WrestleMania. And Namar and I got to sit there in the warm box because it was really cold. It was frigid outside. It was 35 degrees, I think, by the end of the night. And we watched Night 1, and we'll comment on it because I think Night 2 was definitely the better night. But I get on, you know, we talked about doing the show today, and I have a bunch of my notes from Night 1 and my notes from Night 2, and I opened up the conversation when we started to talk about recording, and I said, what did you think of Night 2? And he said, I didn't watch it. And there went my plans for the show.
No, but
so
you
were talking about Night 1,
and then he's going
to watch Night 2.
Wait, but hold on. You didn't tell them that the funniest part was that it had never occurred to me to even turn on Night 2.
Like, unbelievable.
I'm like, yo, because let's be real. First of all, I want to say this on air. Thank you, Bruce, for bringing me along. That was an incredible experience. So as much as one of the things we talk about is that I love wrestling, but surprisingly, I have not gone to a lot of shows. So I actually have a lot of regret with this fandom. As hardcore as I am, like I've said before in previous episodes, I got stuck and I missed out on a lot of loose ends kind of things. Like I'm glad I saw Flair once in my life. I went to a Survivor Series, but I didn't do a lot of wrestling. So, you know, I went to this for the experience to say I went to WrestleMania. That's like a bucket list item. And I'm very thankful for that. So I thank you for, it was just a wonderful situation. Not only did I get to go for free, to have box seats like that and to have that experience to see how the other people live. That was a lot of fun. You know, it was, you know, I mean, come on. The food was great. Just a wonderful experience. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad that, that we had that, but I was completely just like, what, Night 2? You want me to watch that? Oh, okay.
One of the greatest wrestling shows that I've ever seen. And I'm not So first of all, let me just back up a little bit. Thanks to Odyssey for getting tickets. And I do want to give this shout out because, many people might not know this, but my real job is, I'm the face of Telesystem, which is a company that specializes in business, security and voice and data products, nationwide. And we have a brand.
No, tell them, Bruce, they can find all of their products at your local Radio Shack. So be on the lookout.
That's right. But you should, outside of Radio Shack, go to hackersuck.com where you can find everything about Telesystem. So if you own a business and in this day and age, whether you want to be or not, and I'm going to do this soapbox right now as if I'm putting this on for Telesystem, they may or may not want to sponsor this program. Probably not, because professional wrestling just doesn't sell these days. Maybe it does. I don't know. Hackersuck.com. And whether you want to be or not, you are on the front lines of battle for World War III. When we go 100 years into the future and we look back, we will say that this period of time was the start of World War III, and the bad guys are coming in through your device, your computer, your internet connection, your smart TV, your smart refrigerator. It doesn't matter. So, especially if you own a business, it's your job to fortify your business and this country. So go to hackersuck.com, and the great folks at Telesystem will help you to do that. And that's part of how we got the tickets is I do the Telesystem commercials. We broadcast those on Odyssey affiliates around the country. And I said, hey, can you get me some tickets? And they came through. So we went to WrestleMania and we had a great time. It was cold. Namar and I had a challenge finding each other at the front gate. Namar's not, you know, he didn't have the same app that I used to get the tickets. So we found each other though. And Trooper, you're a trooper because you had a little bit of a back problem that day and you had to walk about 3 miles to get to me.
It's hilarious because literally, we could not have been farther apart. and to no fault of anyone, I knew ahead of time, I said, there's going to be problems. I just knew it. And the first one was mine because I thought I was parking in the Lynx parking lot. I did not. I parked in Wachovia. I was just trying to rush in. And Bruce was on the other side of the stadium from the opposite. He was like closer to the river, you know, but we did find each other and it was a great experience. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. I'll be honest. I do not like the product today. However, I'm thankful for the experience. I'm happy, Bruce and I enjoyed ourselves. And I did enjoy watching and being part of the experience. And don't get me wrong. We criticized a lot, but it was a blessing to be able to go because this literally is for wrestling fans. This is our Super Bowl or this is the equivalent, of the Super Bowl. And so we have this once in a lifetime opportunity. We have that badge. It goes all the way back to our childhood, which makes that very, very special. And so it was a great time and the fans are, there's a lot to talk about because the fans are crazy. And I spoke to Albert and I haven't spoke to Albert Bruce in how long?
It's probably been about 12 years. Let me pay homage to Albert real quick. Let's listen to this. Some old Viva Mexico. If you know it, you know it. If you don't, you don't. But anyway, Albert was a big part of the show, and people that never didn't listen to VOC Wrestling Nation on 1360 WNJC worldwide at vocnation.com back in the early 2000s. Albert was a big part of our show. Brady Hicks, who does In the Room and used to be part of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Yeah, we had a great crew in Philadelphia there on the radio, and it was cool to talk to Albert again.
You know, it's funny because I didn't really live into that idea for a very long time. It's Albert was the one who actually, you know, because that guy, you know, Albert is deep. That man is deep. Because you can't trust him. You cannot trust him. But that man could sell you his grandmother like you needed her. Like he can do it.
She comes with pants,
Comes with the pull-ups already. Sorry.
Somebody break that red hole. Like he, Bruce, it was an absolute pleasure talking to him.
Right, that's what yeah, you could be mad at him, and I was mad at him for a little while too. Like, you know, I feud with everybody, but I was mad at him, and then I talked to him one day, I forget why. And everything just went away. He's that kind of guy, he can light up a room.
Bruce, it's weird. It is weird. I'm telling you, we did not talk about this because it was so much going on, but trust and believe me, I was taking it in because Albert and I had weird issues. Like, we didn't really have any direct issues. Like, when I left because I was sick of the whole thing, but I didn't have any particular, like, there wasn't like Albert did something and I said, oh, I'm going to leave. It wasn't like that. But then he befriended me. Like, he was friends with everybody else, but he befriended me. And I said, oh, well, he must not like me for some reason. I said, well, it's no problem, you know? And so, you know, it has put me at somewhat arm's length at thinking about him and the show and everything, just natural defensiveness, nothing really outrageous. But talking to him is unreal because I'm like, he should have been a politician, man. That man could be governor. He could be, if he could avoid a scandal, he could be governor. I mean, he is that good. He is just, he had me going. I was like, I want to do the show again with Albert.
He couldn't avoid the scandal though. That's the thing about Albert. And you know what, Albert.
Wait. Bruce, how far would he get in his like, we have to map out Albert's political career. Like, yeah, he starts off as an alderman. Okay, let's play this quick game. Okay. So Albert cons his way into the government, right? Like, with some candidate in some way. And listen, I say that in jest because if you give him a task, he was excellent for the VOC Nation. He is serious business when you give him a task and for him to achieve it. So Albert's very effective. He's very effective. And so you have the situation where, you know, so he works his way up to an alderman. So Bruce, does Albert make it to city council?
Yeah, of course he does. It's then that all the things come out, you know, because we all have our past, right?
Wait. Is he not getting to mayor? Is he does the controversies come out?
I think he could talk his way through some of those controversies.
So would he be one like a lifer city council, one of those type of guys? Is that as far as he'd go?
You know, by the way, anybody listening right now, go on Twitter, on X, and follow @AC_smooth_. Albert AC Smooth. He's a huge wrestling fan. You see, he loves the Impractical Jokers too. I think he spent some time on that show. And he's all around the indies. I think you should follow him. He's a good follow and he's a good guy. We're going to have him on the show at some point. I don't know, Namar. I don't know because I think it's not so much about the past because we all have a past, right? Everybody, you can, in this day and age, you dig something up on somebody and you'll find anything you want to look for. Albert would have trouble in the current. Like, he would be part of every scandal.
Right, that's where I think he would be involved in something while in office.
Like, oh, I just thought it was a massage, man. I didn't know she was going to do that.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. That is... That is hilarious because it's so like him.
Somebody had told me that she massages wrestlers and I wanted to get a massage by the same person as the wrestlers. I'm a wrestling fan and I went in there and then as soon as she did that, I pulled my pants up and got out of there. That, yes.
Oh man, I can see him on camera. Like, I can see that. And he would be loving and hating the attention at the same time. Like, he would be so annoyed, but he would love that, you know, 6 ABC, what is it, 10 NBC now, and all things that they would be, if he was in the Philadelphia market.
The condom doesn't fit. You must have quit.
I didn't know they were going to use the funds that way. They said it was for the kids.
And he would just skirt his way out of any of this controversy. He might make, I mean, the guy might be president.
Yo, I'm telling you, Albert is, and this is how amazing he is. And like I said, he never did anything to me directly that I could point to, but I was always defensive because of how he acted around the time that I left. So it just made me very, like, you know, on guard with him. And I'm very much well aware of that. I was completely disarmed by him. He's, his charisma. I mean, he just like, I mean, it was really fun talking to him. I was like, man, I'm really enjoying this. Like, I really am happy to be here talking to Albert. And now I understand, well, now I said, then I understood why for years, Bruce would always slowly kind of like poke me with Albert, like in a way, like not in a bad way. But he always talks about if we got the show together and bringing Albert back. And I just never understood why. That now I do. I understand all those times you mentioned him. And for some reason, you, I guess because you stayed with him longer than me, you do have a big fondness for him. Because you talk about the three of us. Like, you don't reminisce about Brady.
And here's the thing for everybody listening.
The same way you do about Albert.
Well, for everybody listening, we had, at the point in time that we were, the 2009, 10, 11, we had arguably the biggest wrestling radio show in the country. And podcasts weren't really a thing at that point. You had some people messing around with Blog Talk Radio, but our big shows would do six figures worth of listeners. We had the ECW Arena show that had 104,000. That stands out to me, and it always will. We had WWE.com would put us up on the website when they had Joey Styles on or somebody from the WWE would come on, Howard Finkel. And we were at the top of the mountain. Busted Open owns that spot now. And Albert was a big part of that journey because he would talk to anybody, Namar. He would get the guests because he would talk to anybody. He would troll the conventions and he would go up and he would just say, you know, can you record a bumper? Can you be on the show? And he's just got that magnetic personality. They'd say yes.
He really does. He really, and that's the thing. Everybody, for what it's worth, even some that are the enemy, even the ones that are boring, and even the ones that are backstabbers, everybody has a charisma and a flair to them. And I think now that it's been so long, and it's not like I said, I haven't had any, you know, issues, but I've just been so disconnected from the show where it's funny because that's learning how Bruce, you have lived this through your pores in a way that I could not have imagined all these years. So reconnecting with you has been very eye opening and all of that. But, everybody has an amazing charisma and even though in our tiny little pocket of life, it is amazing what we all came together as imperfect as it was.
Yep.
I mean, cause it is flawed from the head to the toe to the callous toe. It is flawed. It is a mess. Everybody's a mess except for me, but they're all a mess and I've been forced to suffer through them. That's the story. And, but I mean, what a wonderful ride. And you have to, you know, I really am thinking of just, man, it was, I can enjoy it, even the lows, because they provide such a story. You know, I mean, and maybe if, because things were the way they were, it makes for an interesting story having reconnected with Albert in such a positive way, because he really like, I mean, the man is a charmer. He really has a something about him. He really does. And you have to give him credit. You cannot take that away from him. But then I give, you know, everybody credit. Bruce knows it's weird. Brady and I have some serious friction, some understated friction that I don't quite even understand, but he was always one of my favorites. So but Brady is he has something to him too, you know? And, And I guess Eric does too. You'd have to, you would probably know you spent more time with him. And he did become, you know, very important to the VOC nation. So whatever he might have to bring as well could be, you know, however you would analyze that. But you gotta, I have to take my hat off to Albert. That was a great experience.
AC underscore smooth underscore. No E at the end of smooth. It's not a smooth E. But wrestling. One of the things that we did talk about on Saturday at WrestleMania was your lack of, you know, I kind of float in and out of the products in over the years. I was a big fan in the 80s, less of a fan in the early 90s, huge fan in the Attitude Era, kind of warm, lukewarm in the Ruthless Aggression Era, and then I kind of stopped right after we stopped doing the radio show in 2014, I think is when we hung it up for good. And I didn't really like the PG era for the WWE because I'm an adult and I want to be treated as an adult and I want to watch adult TV shows. I don't watch kids TV shows because I'm not a kid. And Vince McMahon wanted everybody to just watch kids programming and it was silly and stupid. And I yearn for professional wrestling that treats me like an adult. And the 80s had something for everybody. The 90s were more for an adult, you know, the Attitude Era. And this is, this new era of wrestling is really getting me. Like, it's really got me involved. It's really got me going and interested again. And you and I were talking about the current product and the reason that the WWPG product was terrible and the reason that I don't like AEW is a lot to do with Dave Meltzer's impact on wrestling. Dave Meltzer, Wade Keller, the people that started the Dirt Sheets in the 80s, they really, in a lot of ways, have ruined what a lot of us loved about pro wrestling. Because Meltzer's fan base, while in the 80s it might have been more of an NWA fan than a WWF fan, but really they've evolved or devolved into like hardcore fans of Japanese style of wrestling. I mean, it just flips and flops and Dave hates WWE and is blindly defensive of AEW. And I don't get it, man. I think Dave has ruined the business in a lot of ways. And you can hate on me for saying that.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, you know, I agree. It's just probably from a different perspective. And, I think somewhere online I had a conversation with somebody about, it's funny, it was interesting that you said you think Vince McMahon, he offers a sillier product. And it didn't dawn on me in the course of a conversation with somebody, but I realized why the 80s worked great for a while. And that was because most people had their own gimmicks. They brought them in from different places. They were able to develop characters on their own and yep. Vince and Pat would facilitate the stories. But we see by the time the 90s came in, when Vince had, you know, basically created everybody new, for the product, it was silly. You get the gobbledygooker and, you know, Adam Bomb and
awful. Just,
right. Utter nonsense. And I think so. At his core, that's the irony about a lot of people is that you'll find out geniuses have these deep flaws. And while, yes, he was a mastermind at a lot of things, we realize Vince is horrible when he's left to his own devices when it comes to wrestling. He needs very serious, strong character balances. Because when he's left to his own devices, you get an inferior product. Now, so what you said is definitely true. It's just funny that you said that Vince wanted this watered down, silly product. And if you really think about it, whenever Vince has had that, the wrestling business has suffered, or the product has just suffered.
Yeah, it's really, it just becomes, he just does things for the sake of doing them. Sometimes they don't make sense. He's obsessed with people, doing his thing with the actual wrestler. Like he creates a new character. Like, you're right, in the 80s, people would go from territory to territory. He might tweak something to own the name, but he would essentially go with the character that they built and lean into it.
Right.
And the best characters in wrestling have always been characters that the person built themselves and they feel, and they're just playing a version, amped up version of themselves on TV. And what Vince did in the early 90s and then again in this whole PG era for the last 10 years is he forced people into gimmicks that weren't natural to them. And it really made a weak, weak product. People just weren't feeling what they were doing and became angry in a lot of ways. And that's how AEW started.
Yeah. Vince left to his own devices is truly a carnival show. And I'm talking right about the worst parts of it.
But that's where, AEW rose up from the ashes of Vince McMahon's failures. And, it was built by the fans that really, and when I say hardcore fans, I'm not talking about fans of ECW. I'm talking about fans of the dirt sheets, fans that, they like thinking that they're insiders because they read something on Dave Meltzer's message board. Those fans love Japanese wrestling for whatever reason. I mean, Dave says it's 5 stars, so it's 5 stars to them. I don't like that style of wrestling. I don't want a match that looks like choreographed gymnastic fighting. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
And Tony Khan is obsessed with Dave Meltzer. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with Dave Meltzer, Tony. You are obsessed with Dave Meltzer. And they built their entire product. So they ended up allowing people to create their own characters. But they're paying these guys, Namar. They're paying these guys that never made more than a couple $100 a show on the indies. And I'm generalizing. They're giving them millions of dollars. And I'm probably going to get myself blackballed. But it's the truth. And they're letting them run this company into the ground. And AEW started out as a great idea. A guy that had the money to compete against the WWE machine. And they just turned it into like this dude's hobby. It's terrible.
You know, for me, I've been preaching that banner that, Meltzer and Cornette both have been extremely destructive to the wrestling business and wrestling culture. Really the culture which affected the business. Both of them are diseases and funguses that need to be eradicated. But you're absolutely right, Bruce. And it's Meltzer never knew what made wrestling work. And the work rate guys are just incompetent. They know, cause this is the thing with them, Bruce. History proves the point. History, like, it's like the same people. So, in the past week or so, WWE released the full Steamboat and Macho match. And so this new delusion that has made its way, because that was like almost like the genesis of that style of wrestling in terms of popularity amongst wrestling fans was that match. And so the delusion now is that match stole the show. And they say that boldly. You need to go look at the comments. Look at the comments under that video and to see how destructive Dave Meltzer is and just how these people don't live in reality, because I tell them. And if you go and you see, video is evidence. History is evidence. It's not like we're going 200 years and we're going off of somebody's writings. We can see and hear who got the biggest pop that night. who had the biggest succession of pops? What was the match that truly had the people? Who did they come to see? And who left them satisfied? When I watch the Ricky Steamboat match with Savage, I see a very dull crowd. They do not get even half or a quarter of the main event. But we live in that delusion where they are so bold to speak stupid. We have allowed stupid to speak and to have a voice, and we need to be shutting them up and shutting the people who follow them up. Like, I'm amazed at the lack of boldness amongst wrestling fans who are too afraid, or when they do. This is another thing, folks. You people on social media, you cowards, that when you have a dissenting thought, you're so afraid of people coming at you, you throw that laughing emoji at the end of your sentence. That's your little sissy way of saying, hey, I don't agree with you, but don't attack me. It's all fun and games. But stand on your convictions like a man. Like, come on. Like, no, Dave Meltzer is wrong. History has shown that those kinds of matches do not draw in the crowd. It doesn't. It never has. It is something good to watch. They are fun. They have their place. But we do not live in this world. And even with this ADD world we live in, or AHAD, whatever it's called, maybe I shouldn't use that because it is a condition. But, in the world where...
You're going to get those people upset with you now, too.
Oh, well, you know what? Look, listen, with the flash and lights and lack of substance and all that, and they're giving Dave Meltzer exactly what he wants, because now even the big guys are flipping and flopping all around like they got trampolines and their springs in their legs. It's unreal. You, what's the difference? Everybody's giving them what they want. And even though the business is a $1 billion business, look at the ratings. It's not that these guys today are not talented. That's the bad part. They're physically more capable now. What's missing is good storytelling and a reduction. And you cannot listen to Dave Meltzer because, again, history and evidence proves the point. AEW is losing money catastrophically. There you go. Well,
let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. So, did you get that?
Don't you move.
So when I watched WrestleMania 3 for the first time, because I didn't become a fan until 88. So I remember renting that video in 88 or 89, and I watched it, and I watched the whole thing, and I never even understood that match. I never heard of that match before. I didn't know anything that happened. I just knew that Hogan and Andre were the main event. It was on the cover of the video cassette. And I watched it, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, that was a great match, Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man. And I had no awareness of that match before that time period.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, though. I don't go and talk about WrestleMania 3 and say Steamboat Savage, because most common people would say, who? They know Macho Man. Most people do. Not everybody knows Ricky Steamboat. And most common people don't know that they wrestled on that card. But every single person, and I work near Detroit, and I spent a lot of time driving by the Pontiac Silverdome before it got knocked down. And I would always say, that's the building that Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant wrestled at WrestleMania 3, and everybody knew it. Everybody talked about it. That was the thing. When you think of the Pontiac Silverdome, you think of Hogan and Andre, brother, WrestleMania 3. 93,000 people at the Silverdome. Nobody ever says, yep, that was where Macho Man and Steamboat had that 5-star match.
That's what I'm saying. They live in such a bubble, and they have and first of all, there's nothing wrong with that match. It is a very entertaining match. I do not take anything away from Macho and Steamboat, but you have to bring in a perspective. And even going up to the Attitude Era, Stone Cold was not flipping and flopping and all around. I mean, he'd come in and punch you up, kick you up, and everybody else would be flipping and flopping around. And he was the top guy, the biggest right. draw. Yep. Even The Rock was, The Rock had some agility, but he was not like a Kofi Kingston or somebody, or, The Ultimate Warrior, all the big names, even Brock Lesnar, who's very agile. He's a power guy. That's why, like in boxing, the heavyweights are always more notable than every other weight. And there's legends, you know, you got your Sugar Ray Leonards and everybody else, but you know, they don't compare to a Mike Tyson or Muhammad Ali. We know we don't speak about those people in the same breath. That's right. We know we don't. That's and, right. And so you tailoring your product to these, I mean, these idiots, you know, these half-wits who don't understand human nature. They like what they like and they have tunnel vision. They don't know human nature. And that's the problem.
It's like, you know, it's almost like, well, we say that this is what makes a match great. So that's what you have to do. And the thing about, like, and Meltzer is such a mark for himself. And that's what frustrates me. And I used to just placate because I was one of those people that, you know, did what you said. And I never wanted to, because listen, the Meltzer people, when you get on the wrong side of them, they will go on the attack. And I always felt like, well, you know, I need people to listen to my show. So I'm not going to go too hard, and I don't feel like having a bunch of people attack me on social media. And then I just decided, like, you know what? Screw you, Dave. What he does is when you say something to Dave that he doesn't like, he quote tweets it. And so he basically will call you out in front of all of his people because he knows that they will go on the defense and you'll get blasted by 40 or 50 people. And I just don't care anymore because Dave, you have proven that what you like is only limited to about 750,000 people.
Yep.
That is what AEW is right now. And they started with much more than that. They're going down and down and down. Tony wasted money on CM Punk, drove the only star that they've had out of the company because he couldn't get along with them. And you continue to prop this up as if it is golden wrestling. You talk about all these five-star matches. If it's a five-star match that nobody wants to watch, this is what Punk said. If it's a five-star match that nobody wants to watch and it's in a half-full building, then I don't want to be in that match. That's what CM Punk said. And I agree with that. Why is it a five-star match if nobody gives a crap who wins or loses except for you and your 750,000 fans? It doesn't matter. WrestleMania, the main event, every single wrestling fan in the world, except for Namar, was watching that match. And there was a ton of run-ins. It was a crazy match, but it was incredibly entertaining. And The Rock was the most entertaining part of that. I don't care what you say, all you Cody people. And all of that, and he didn't do one flip. You know, he didn't flip not once. He just does things subtly to make you care.
You know, that's the other thing. I was highly disgusted. So I did find out that Cody won the belt, and I said to myself, you know, what a marketing gimmick for an undeserving person. I have to fill in these shoes that I don't deserve because of my daddy's legacy.
It did suck me in too. I mean, when he won, the emotion in that building was, I mean, it was off the charts. I was not, I mean, listen to my shows. I called it wrong. I mean, it got me. I mean, it got me.
It's ludicrous, man.
I was there weeping like the rest of them.
It's ludicrous. Well, I think you're having a whole separate thing going on with you and this product. I think Bruce is having a true midlife crisis. I swear to God. There's something going on with you, man. But getting back, it's like they were, I mean, how do you, it's like I don't know, your dad was into air conditioning and refrigeration, right? Or I forget, something like
yeah.
that.
Yep.
So it would be like you becoming the president of a...
Yeah, you need me to fix your heater because it's in my blood.
Yeah.
Even though I've never done it in my life and I'd be terrible at it.
Right, or you should be the head of a company just because your father has this legacy. Like, no, you just don't get in there automatically. And it honestly, Bruce, I like the idea of the story, but it felt when I found out about the victory, and this is another thing that did, we can talk a little bit about night two in this way, because remember, we called it. We know if he was going to lose the first night, they were going to give him the win the second night. We said that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and normally in a situation, they would do that weeks out. They don't do that back to back. I mean, we did night to night.
So, against all odds.
Yeah, right. No.
Bloodline rules.
See, that's what I'm saying. They don't even know how to surprise us anymore. And then don't get me wrong. Listen, I will accept that you enjoy this product, but I know you can be honest enough to admit that it was so telegraphed.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. I said to you, as soon as I said they made, first of all, you see it a mile away. The Rock pinned him clean, mm-hmm. right? So that The Rock can say that Roman Reigns is the real problem. Like, that'll be a feud at some point.
Right.
It sets up Cody and The Rock down the road, whether that's SummerSlam or WrestleMania next year. And it also says, you know, Cody got destroyed in this match and he lost. So he's got to face the whole bloodline tomorrow and he's going to, you know, overcome all odds because he's the greatest wrestler we've ever seen. All 5 foot, 5 foot 10, 192 pounds of him. I'm just kidding. Cody is very good. Very good. He's not a great talker in my opinion. But he has charisma, and I'm very proud of what he did. I mean, he really decided he was going to go grab that brass ring, and he did it. Like, you have to give him credit for that. I mean, I poke fun, but he did. I mean,
well, that's I got to do it because of my daddy.
No, he
my dad's legacy.
He decided. I mean, he does have
he decided. Well, listen, guys, my daddy's been champion.
Well, no, Dusty never won the WWF title.
But I'm saying, yes, right. He got all of them but the WWF because Dusty apparently deserved it. I hate you didn't know, Bruce.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
And then Dustin, what did Dustin have? Was he an Intercontinental?
Yeah.
He was Gold Dust?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Cody had – so – somewhere in the history of the universe, I was unaware that a Rhodes had to eventually win the coveted title, regardless of whether or not they deserved it or not.
Son of a plumber, if you will. Yeah, well, Bill Apter would tell you that.
Where is Bill? Where in the hell is Bill? I need to talk to him tonight. Call him up, Bruce. Let's get Bill on the phone.
If we weren't recording at 11:16, I'd do it.
Bill, where are you? You know, it's funny because I was watching more wrestling and...
Where's my check and I'll answer the phone?
I'm not privy to that, but I love looking at the old matches. It's funny because I'm talking to people that I know will never do this. That's the crazy thing. It's like, it feels so pointless. But one of the joys that I have in watching old wrestling, especially old WWF, is wondering which one of those cameramen is Bill. Because a lot of them have the same build and hair as him. So I really play a game with myself and imagine which one of these fellas on the sides of the ring is Bill. We got to play it. I'm going to post something on your wall and we're going to guess which one is Bill.
I don't think that – so I think he did – he was like there in the 70s. And so he talks about this on an old episode of Wrestling with History. And this is the thing. When I did Wrestling with History with Bill and Ken, my sense of humor is different than theirs. So Bill told this like heart wrenching story about how Vinny, you know, Vince McMahon basically kicked him out of the product. You know, he used to call and get the results and he would be invited into the cards and, I'm poking fun at Bill's voice, but I love Bill and Bill knows it. So I can do this. So Bill's telling this heartwarming story and I was laughing and he was so upset that I was laughing. And, so Bill works for Sportskeeda now. So if you want to see Bill, go on sportskeeda.com.
That man is a survivor.
It's been around forever. But yeah, so Bill wasn't allowed in the WWF shows because Vince didn't like him.
Wait.
You're talking about before they kicked all the magazine guys out, or around that time?
Well, Bill was, I guess, you know, the most prominent. If you hear this, I mean, it's very heart wrenching. And Bill's like, Vinny, but it's me. It's me, Bill. And Vince is basically like telling Howard Finkel, hang up the phone, Howard.
It was like when Scar threw Mufasa off the side of the cliff.
That's right. But Vinny, it's me. It's Bill. It's your friend.
Can you hear Howard? Listen up, Bill.
Here is your loser. Bill. Edgerton.
Bill Lefter, we're no longer accepting your call. The people in the office are like, it would be bizarre. Oh my gosh, man. We have to ask Bill about that. I'm actually very curious about how that all be, if he'll talk to us about it.
Don't laugh at it. It's just like the time that I had to cut out my favorite part of the broadcast. So of all the shows that Bill Ken and I did, my favorite part is when I did this with a straight face. And it might be, I don't think it's on YouTube. They didn't want me to put it up. But we did a show about Vern Gagne. And I did, like, you know how Conrad, you know, Conrad will set it up, and it was like, you know, and on the Observer on May 16th, 1963. So I like set this up for these guys.
I wish I could grab old episodes of the Observer and shove them down his throat, like old school 80s style, like when they used to make people eat paper.
Or like push it down with a crample.
Mention the Observer again. Mention it again! Like mention it again! Nobody cares! But go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I said, you know, and we were doing the show on Vern, because that's the Wrestling with History. We were doing full episodes on a particular wrestler. So we did a show on Vern, and I said, and Vern, and Vern Gagne's last match came, and I mentioned the date, and I mentioned the, like, St. Francis Nursing Home. Yes. Helmut Guttman, when he body slammed through a table to his death. And they were so upset. They were so upset. And I, my heart goes out to Helmut's family, but he lived a good life, guys. I mean, he was in his 90s.
And, yo, man. Sorry. You know what? It's funny because I actually have that clip. Bruce sent it to me, and because he knew that it's funny, like you would almost never believe we were Christians in some ways. Like you give us going, like that dark side isn't real. But that was hilarious. That might be the funniest thing you ever said on the radio when it came to wrestling, and you can't even share it. Like it
wasn't even. They wanted no parts of it.
Yo, so, Bill was, I can still see his face. He's, you know, cause he had that funny look where he's like looking at the computer, but it's like, it's off centered a little bit, but he's like staring, but you know, there's like a disconnect. And it takes a moment for them to adjust to your joke. Like, there's a slight
What's he going to say? I'll hang up right now. I'll hang up this phone right now, voice of choice.
Yo, man. I don't know what to say about all of that.
Well,
that was funny.
So anyway, Dave Meltzer ruined wrestling. That was the point. I don't know how we got off track. The other part of WrestleMania Night 1 that I do, and we got to wrap this up soon, but I do want to say, there was more energy, and this was not the case for night two, which Namar will find out when he goes back and watches. But there was more energy for sure in the link for the entrances than the actual performers and the matches. And this tends to be the case for some reason for modern wrestling. Like I was saying to Namar in the building, I can almost relate because when I buy the wrestling games, I simulate all the matches, but I like to see the entrances. And the fans will, I mean, it's like they live to sing along with the damn Seth Rollins music and, the Cody's music. And then when the match starts, they like shut down and like, especially with Rollins. I mean, Rollins is over, but not nearly as over as his theme music. And we did a whole show on how theme music is important. And I agree with that. But the problem is that a lot of times these guys, nobody cares about their promo once they get to the ring. They were just interested in the theme music, you know, well, and sing along with the theme music.
Well, you know, that's why my personal opinion is that we do need to we need to replace these kinds of wrestling fans. They've had the monopoly and they've been fed and we need to end, the product needs to end its relationship with those people.
That's why we're here, folks.
Yep.
We're the Wrestling with History generation of wrestling fans. We're going to do it. You're going
to
help
us. I mean, think about it. There needs to be an uncoupling or a decoupling. We need, those people need to go. They need to go. They need to go back to when, you know, these are the people that had that loved the indies and where people were doing all the stupid stuff, you know, all the nonsense. They need to go back in the closet. We need to take our brooms and shove them right down back into the dungeons where they belong, you know, and
Stu, just say, look, Stu and Helen.
Yeah. You can come out when you want to behave and act like a normal person. But until then, get in there. Get in there. Poke them till you get them in there because they're out of their minds. We need to – Bruce, they just do stuff to do it. It's like – you know they're like lemmings. They're programmed. It's like, okay, he comes out. We're supposed to chant, oh, and then there's no emotion for the rest of the match.
First he talks about the helmet thing that I told him not to talk about, and then this guy's talking about stuffing people into closets.
Well, look, it's like, you know what? Okay. Arrested. They need to be arrested and thrown in jail. Is that better? Gosh.
Yes. Yes. And you need to be arrested tomorrow.
All right, Bill. I'm going. You can poke me with a stick and tell me to be quiet. But no, we really do. We need to get away from these people because these people... The product now reflects, or, you know, for a while it reflected the indies and it's become that. And we just need more base. Like is it too much to ask for things for an impact to have an impact? Can we slow things down just a little bit and rethink it?
Yeah, let it breathe. I mean, the best things happen in the margins, right? And you have to let the product breathe. You can't, like, that's the problem is the performers of today think that they have to fill in every space, that's there. And it's all about them. And it's really not. You have to make people invested. Emotion is a big thing. And I'm a speaker. I mean, I'm a public speaker. And that's the biggest thing. If somebody were to say, how can I be a successful speaker? It's all about getting people wrapped up in the emotion of what you're saying. And if you just vomit words at them all the time, you're not going to do that. Mm. And with wrestling, you have to pause. That's why Hulk Hogan was so great. And for all of you Hulk Hogan haters, shove it up your rear. Hulk Hogan was great because he understood, like, those matches, yes, there was a formula. He started out with the shove to the corner. You know, they would do the double shove. And he would look at the crowd. And sometimes he would Hulk up. But they were invested. And obviously, I mean, did you remember in WrestleMania Night 1, The Rock kind of paid homage to the Hulk Hogan style? Like they did the shove? Yeah. They did the shove. He shoved, I don't know if it was Rollins or Cody, but they shoved each other. I mean, it was great because that's how Hogan and The Rock's match went. I just thought.
Those classic things, especially amongst men, the test of strength, dominance, perseverance, being able to convey that properly. And they think they're doing it today, but they're not. Like that Intercontinental bout, they tried to make, I didn't feel it. It's so plastic having watched, you know, that go on for the past couple of weeks, being forced to watch Raw and, you know, where in the world does Drew McIntyre get his hair done? I mean, he must be in there with the ladies. Remember how the ladies back in the '80s, Bruce, used to sit under the hair dryers? You can see him there. It's the same thing. But he's with the guy that won. He was, you know, going back and forth with the guy who won the title. Damn. And it just didn't feel like a true underdog story. It seemed like he looked like, and it seemed, felt like a, almost like a retelling of, who, Daniel Bryan, right? Remember yeah. Daniel Bryan had yeah. that run, and he had the same look, the beard and everything, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And it just felt like a retread without any real emotion. And part of it is that because they have people writing their lines, it's so scripted like a soap opera. It's silly. You know, when you would let a guy go, and a quick, you know, a soundbite or whatever with the guy going off and fueled out of his mind, you know, you got good product that way. I mean, Flair, look at what Flair was able to do in his promos.
That's the thing that I'm most excited about with the new product and the way that Triple H, his style is different from Vince. It's Triple H is more, he allows people to develop their own things, to say things in their own style, and the Rock's on the board now. So I think you're going to see more of that. I think that's a great thing. I think you're going to get that again.
You know what? I've heard that throughout the years that is what Triple H has tried to push for, and he's always gotten that restriction from Vince. So I've never actually witnessed that or was deep into the product enough where he was involved in managing it to know the difference, but I've heard it. And I do welcome it because, listen, guys, I'm always still looking forward, you know, one of my obsessions now is that Saturday night's main event where they cut out, I think it's Hogan and Patera versus Andre and somebody else. There's a Saturday night's main event where the actual main event was never shown on TV. And I really would like to see that match. And so, you know, I love the 80s. We already know that. However, I would love to love the product again. I admit that I did not get the full enjoyment out of the Attitude Era once WCW dissolved, and even then they got terrible towards the end. And I admit that. I missed all of that. And so now with a clearer mind and a clearer conscience, I really would like to enjoy the product. And I think they can do it. They just need to they need to just drop this system that they're in. They need to get rid of some of the writers, most of them. And we also need to get back to having people create their own characters, and we need people to really build up ideas in the indies, for real. Pull from the indies. Build the system back up. It's better.
AEW is, they tried that, remember?
Well, I mean, you know,
the indies, they all listen to Dave. They do a match, and instead of actually trying to be invested in the crowd, they actually just look on the internet to see if Dave gave them 5 stars.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. So the indies are all terrible. I'm more so thinking, you know what it is? Because since we don't have territories, the only thing that my mind could equate was the indies. But you're right. The indies are a cesspool, because I actually mentioned, I think that earlier in the conversation, they're a cesspool of the indies fans are the ones that we have the problem with now. Those guys, they're who the product, is reflective of the style that they like. So,
and that's why the title of the episode is going to be Dave Ruined Wrestling.
Dave, you suck. Your ideas about wrestling are terrible. You get things wrong all the time. You have been exposed as a liar, and you have every right to live in like the kind of wrestling you like. However, I believe that we need to move away from that, and you can enjoy your tapes like I've been forced to do for so many years. So hopefully we can get some good product in and get rid of Meltzer and those like him. And you know what? Think about it. It's more universal. It always, the other style or the diversity, the true diversity is what pulled people in. And you That's have right. to have heart. people have to really be able to connect with their characters. Like I love Bruiser Brody in one of the documentaries on him. His wife said that, you know, you have to hear her when she says how she would drop him off at the airport. And I believe he would pull his hair back into the ponytail. And she said she just would see a different man. He would just transform. And we need people. And I don't know if that's a selling of the soul. I mean, not get religious, but you understand what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I can, yeah.
But you know, is it, you know, I don't want anything to done at the cost of the sacrifice of the person inside who these people truly are. But the best art for professional wrestling are people who are able to build their own characters and get that, whatever that is out of them. You know, whether it be a heel or a baby face. There's something in these people where they connect so hard with it. You know, it's not to say that Rick, I mean, look, Bobby Heenan, one of the nicest, most respectful guys about the business and everything. His shoot interviews, it's funny how people, you know, really respond to his shoots. There's only a few of them, one major one that they re-uploaded, that's on YouTube now. But he could connect. He could connect into that weasel character.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he'd have you believe in him. Did he really? I mean, and him going off and just whatever, just, I mean, he could do it. Flair, well, Flair lived it. Flair had to sell his soul. He did. He was one who did because he lived that lifestyle to his detriment. But you understand what I'm saying. Those who could turn it on and off, but it was natural to them.
Yeah. Well, no, absolutely. I know what you mean. And you'll know what I mean.
That's right.
And that brings us to the end. And folks, I've said folks too many times. I'm not that old. I don't use that word that much. But I need you. I'm in a hotel and I need to be a little bit quiet. I need you to go to your favorite podcast platform and I need you to search for VOC Nation Wrestling Network. I need you to hit subscribe or like or follow, whatever the word is. iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your, I'm sorry, Stitcher doesn't exist. Hasn't in a long time. Spotify. Hit the bell, get notified when we broadcast, when we drop an episode. We broadcast all of our shows on VOC Nation, so I don't warranty any of the other shows. In the Room, Bumps and Thumps have nothing to do with me or us. But our shows, when you see Wrestling with History, I need you to go and listen and give us a like and a follow. And I need you to go on X and follow us at WWHVOC. I need you to give VOC Nation a 5-star review. Even if you hate the other stuff, do it for us. It'll help us to grow. And give us a review. And in that review, say, I hate all of the other shows. I hate Brady. I hate Brian Ferguson. Well, he's a nice guy. I hate Brady. But I love Wrestling with History, and that's what we need you to do. Keep us going as the number one show in China. Bring us to the charts in America. I see we hit the charts in Canada, so it is growing. I'd love it to grow in America. We don't even speak Chinese. I don't know how it happened. Thanks to Dave Meltzer for giving us the inspiration to this show. Dave, we love you, and keep doing what you're doing, pal, because it is getting more and more people angry. Conrad, you're right behind him, but I kind of like you, and I like your shows. I'm a subscriber to ad-free shows. All right, Namar, we'll talk about the rest of WrestleMania when you watch it, okay, pal?
You got it.
Worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Hit my music! Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
The best version of Monday Night Raw since the Attitude Era.
It's ridiculous. It's garbage. These people are drones. It's like wrestling just occupies a part of their soul. You've got a spell on me. Take my dreams and fantasies. Make me.
Wrestling.
Do you believe the things that you say?
Are you one of Dave Meltzer's minions?
Like, what world are you living in that you could have said that to be recorded and presented before the world?
Why couldn't they pay the Rock?
Where are you going with it? Either? Like, you're a madman.
That brings all kinds of new people to your product.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
But you really have to look at what wrestling was in the time right before Hogan won the belt.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling.
Don't get your panties in a bunch. Just sit back and watch the product. That's what it's all about, right? You're supposed to be entertained.
Yeah, but they ruined it. That's the problem. They didn't entertain us the right way.
Wrestling with History.
It may well be in The Rock's best interest to actually return as a performer.
Wrestling with History.
We love wrestling. We love wrestling. You got me.